Welcome to this week's Jimmy's Army podcast, a podcast about the OKC Energy by Energy fans. Daniel back this week to host the podcast as usual with Ryan Hernandez.
Great to be back.
Ryan's back, and a guy who has forced his way into our podcast. We invited him once, and he just keeps showing up. He's back as well. Eddie Martz, what's up, man?
That's messed up, but what's happening?
Forced his way into the podcast as well as our hearts.
Number 7 in our programs, number 1 in our podcast. Hearts. Well, we're glad to have you guys this week. We got quite the show coming up for you guys, so we hope you're ready to be entertained. We'll recap what was a historical game in all of the wrong ways for the Energy against Louisville City. We'll also look forward to two very important games on the West Coast against Orange County and LA Galaxy 2. We'll also switch it up a bit, talk a little bit about the Women's World Cup. We'll also preview the U.S. Men's National Team Gold Cup tournament that's coming up here in about a week. So lots of stuff to talk about. We'll also do around the league as well, kind of talk about what's going on. So that sound good to you guys?
Let's go for it.
All right, all right. Very good. I see we have some repeat visitors here. I think we're all drinking Coop, yes?
I'm drinking Roughtail, the IPA.
Ah, very nice. Okay. So Ryan's going Roughtail. Shout out to Midwest City.
First shout out of the podcast.
First shout out, and it was really early too. So I got the Coop, the Horny Toad, and I also have a 12th round ale right here. Eddie, what do you got?
I've got Elevator Wheat that I'm drinking right now, and the Grand Sport Porter is coming up next.
Very good. So again, we're happy to have you guys. Let's just jump right into again, what was a historically bad night for the OKC Energy. They lose to Louisville City FC away 6-2. You know it's never going to be good when the first sentence in any game recap is, and the Oklahoma City Energy set a new record for goals allowed in a game. I mean, that's pretty bad. So we had, again, 6 goals for Louisville City, 2 to your Energy. Energy goal scorers were Dalgard and Koenig on a PK, and Louisville City, pretty much half of their team scored. So, as always, we'll do a little bit of good, bad, and ugly. Let's start with Eddie. What was your good for the game?
My good for the game was the goal by Great Balls. 16th-minute goal. What can you say about him? He's great balls.
That was assisted by Christian Duke, correct?
No, that was Chewy.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure it was Chewy. Maybe it was Duke. I don't know. The feed was pretty grainy, so.
Yeah, I think it was number 20, which is, I mean, I was.
Oh, always, that's Duke then. That's Duke.
Yeah, I was very surprised because he's a defender playing that far up the field. It's shocking. But it was a great back and forth between the two of them. A lot of volleys and a great finish by Sebastian.
Yeah, that actually leads right into my good, which was the interplay leading up to that goal. It's easy to kind of focus on the play between Duke and Dalgard, the kind of back and forth in the air passing, which was beautiful, but it actually was set up by a great ball from the other side of the field by Kyle Gregg. He kind of started that play by winning it over the towards the right sideline and then played a great ball with his left foot all the way across the field that Duke took down, and that's when the play kind of started. And then Dalgard had a nice little finish. So that was my good. Ryan, what was yours?
My good was just collectively the amount of chances that we created for ourselves. We really set ourselves up in a good position to win the game, but defensively down the stretch, we just kind of gave it up.
I'm really surprised that nobody's good was that Koenig scored another goal.
I know. I mean, it was kind of, not that it doesn't count for anything, but it was a PK, so, you'd like to have seen him score an open play.
Sure, but a goal is a goal on the score sheet. It just says he scored another one.
It's true. I think that's his league-leading 10th goal, so not bad.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of what I liked a lot of what Koenig did in this game because he was very feisty and he was arguing all of the atrocious calls. We'll get to that. But I remember one of my favorite moments of the game. I think it was like after they scored the fifth goal. He just basically came in and just cleared this guy out. Like it was a touch and he just cleared right through him and got a yellow card. I thought that was great just because he was as pissed off as we were watching that game. So,
yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So, yes, a lot going on in this game. Ryan, you know, our play, it was good. It was a weird game because they scored so many goals, but we didn't play bad offensively.
Not at all, yeah. Yeah, who was it that had that almost chipped the keeper?
That was Chewy.
That was Chewy. That would have been an amazing goal if that would have gone in.
Yeah, we really missed Gareth Evans in this game, I think, because we really had nobody to protect the back line, and our midfield in the center was almost non-existent in a lot of this game, and they found all that space there. And, you know, he would have been there to really kind of protect that area. And it was tough, especially because, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but we went to three in the back in the second half. We subbed Hedrick out at halftime for Peter Toth, and Toth came in. And so basically we had three center midfielders, Toth, Chewy, and Daniel Gonzalez, and we ran three in the back, which is like, all right, well, we're going to chase the game. And sometimes when you chase the game, it destroys you, and that's pretty much what happened. So.
We died by the sword.
We died by the sword. So, yes, tough game on from the defensive aspect. So let's go ahead and shift to bad. I'll start this one off. I thought the pitch was very bad again. I mean, the part that didn't used to be a baseball infield was pretty nice, but, like, I stopped counting the amount of times that players were slipping on the grass that they put over the baseball field because it's not in the ground. It's too slippery. And, you know, the announcers even mentioned, it looks like the energy players are getting frustrated with, you know, slipping around on the carpet. They kept calling it the carpet, which drove me crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it wasn't just us. Like, your players were slipping too, you know, so why don't you take care of that?
It looked pretty rough.
Yeah, yeah. Soccer is not meant to be played on a baseball diamond.
Also,
but yeah, I mean, basically the way they set the infield up is, I mean, when you put grass in that isn't intended on staying in the ground, obviously there's going to be stability issues that's going to cause players to fall around on the field. So,
I mean, yeah, again, I stopped counting because I didn't have enough fingers, like the amount of times that a player fell down in that area.
Daniel can't count past the number of fingers he has.
21, I think, is his max.
21.
21. Fingers, toes.
Yeah, I got the extra one.
That one, I was like, what is he talking about?
You only have 20. Oh, I get it.
Oh.
So, yes, what were your guys' bad?
Well, my bad is to go along with my good. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, but just the sheer number of chances we had that we didn't finish. It's good to create those chances, but in a losing game, you really want to, I mean, you need to finish those. And honestly, like the chip with Chewy, that's a matter of centimeters, but if that would have went in, it might have changed the whole game drastically, just with momentum being what it is. So
there was a couple of moments that seemed a bit unfair, which I'll talk about in my ugly, but that really kind of changed the tide of the game when we were in it and we were still in it to us not really having a chance. So what was your bad, Eddie?
My bad was just that, we lost the game by 4 goals. You know, it's never happened before.
That is pretty bad.
It's just there's nothing good you can say about losing by 4 goals.
Yep, to set the franchise record for the most goals allowed in a game is never good. So right. Hopefully we only set that record once and it's never touched again.
At least it wasn't 7.
Silver linings. So let's get into the ugly, and you guys will have to cut me off because I could talk about how bad this was the whole game, but mine was the officiating. I thought it was god-awful. Even in our favor, I would still admit that I thought it was awful. starting with the alleged passback from Cyprian Hedrick. Let me. I know the ref listens to this podcast, so let me tell you something, ref. If the goalie has has to adjust to the ball and dive backwards to pick it up, it's not a passback. These are professional soccer players. So here's the deal. If they wanted to pass it back, what they would do is just pass it back to where Newton could scoot, just lean down and scoop it up. The fact that the ball was nowhere near Newton and he had to adjust to it and dive in order to pick it up should show you that it's a pass back. I think I've seen a pass back called like one time ever. It was the dumbest call, and it was unfortunately the first of a lot of dumb calls in this game. The penalty that he gave us was stupid as well. The red card he gave to Dalgaard was stupid. He was awful the whole night, and even the announcers admitted it, and all the calls pretty much went their way. Yeah. Oh, and you know what else was stupid? The Van Compernol penalty, the second penalty that they got was stupid. And just a lot of stupidness.
Yeah, that penalty kind of seemed like a makeup call for the penalty that they gave us, which inherently is stupid. But I don't know how you can call a penalty like that on contact off the ball.
So, Daniel, how exactly did you feel about the officiating?
Stupid. It was stupid.
Okay.
That guy was stupid.
This segment is now good, bad, and stupid.
Right. It is. I agree. It is good, bad, and stupid. And that ref was stupid. So the pass back. Oh, I have one other stupid thing about this while I'm talking about stupid things. The baseball celebration by the Louisville City player. Okay. First off, how is he the first one to have done a stupid baseball celebration at their state? Have they not scored at home yet?
Because they haven't scored.
Also,
maybe it's because everybody else that plays realizes that is a dumb celebration.
It's dumb. It's dumb. And of course, all the broadcasters were just like giggling like little schoolgirls because they did it. And here's the deal. It was off of a PK. You don't. Who celebrates like that off of a gimme goal? Like if you hit it like a 30-yard bomb, then yes, go play baseball, you know. But it's a PK, dude. Act like you've been there.
I would celebrate off that.
I would be like, oh, if I was on the team, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to remember that guy, and I'm going studs up on him for celebrating like a douchebag.
And I pull out my gun.
Speaking of studs up, Dalgaard did go into a tackle studs up and got a red card, so maybe he was just paying him back for something like, you know.
Maybe he listens to this podcast too much, specifically Daniel, who talks about going studs up all the time.
My fat self couldn't catch anybody, so if I actually did play professional soccer at any level, that'd be like my only defensive tactic is to go studs up, be the most red-carded player in the league.
Daniel would just lay in the middle of the field with his studs up and hope somebody runs into him.
Yes, please run into my cleats. So what was your guys ugly for the game?
The exact same thing.
Okay. So. Good. Eddie?
My ugly was, you know, early on in the game, we were tied 2-2, and then having four consecutive goals after that scored on us was my ugly. I mean, we're the game is level at 2, and then you just let them run away with it. And everybody just kind of, I don't want to say gave up, because they ran hard the whole time, but
those last couple of goals.
With the officiating the way it was, I mean, they're getting all these BS calls, and everybody just kind of stopped playing. You could see it in Newton. Yeah. You could see it in our back three in the second half. You could see it in our midfield. I mean, everybody was just kind of done with the game.
Yeah, it's the first time I think we've ever seen that from them. And I think it's fair to mention it that in a game like that, as much as you want to teach – I don't know what you're doing. Do you know how to pour a beer, Eddie? I'm sorry to get distracted, but you almost spilled half your beer trying to pour it into a wide open glass. Like, are you okay?
I would like to say that I spilled none of it, and I'm only using one hand.
You need more than one hand to pour a beer?
When it's a porter and you need to hold the glass sideways to not get the amount of head that I'm getting right now.
So anyways, what was I saying? I can't remember now. I was distracted.
I can't even remember what I was going to say.
We were talking about how the team kind of gave up on it.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think we've ever seen that from our team before, which is in their favor. But at the same time, I guess everybody gets one, right? I mean, everybody gets a game like that where you're just like, eh, we'll just forget it happened and moved on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. This is definitely a far cry from our top of the table play that we've been seeing the past, or well, actually not like this last week, but the previous weeks before that, we saw some great soccer out of them. But hopefully going forward, we can improve upon some of these mistakes and play a lot better, starting with the two games that we have this week.
We were not kidding when hashtag blessed unblessed us.
Yes, we jinxed. I'm sorry, everybody out there who's listening. I mean, we're sorry about that because that's
Tyler.
Really what
Tyler's sorry about that.
He's not here to defend himself, so
it's all his fault.
I mean, I guess you kind of have to give some credit to the Louisville team. Matt Fonney played a really great game. He had a hat trick.
Dude, what is it about dudes with long hair that kill us? Andy Craven from Seattle with his long hair doucheness killed us.
What they lack in style, they make up for on the field, I guess.
And Fondy's long hair killed us. We need to check the rosters and make sure that neither Orange County nor LA Galaxy 2 have people with long hair.
Tyler's long hair kills this podcast.
It does.
We just need to post up, like, maybe just travel with the team, show up to the home games with a pair of scissors, just, you know, sneak up, cut their hair, man.
Buzzing while they're sleeping the night before.
If we cut their long hair off, it'll be like Samson in the Bible, where it's just like he loses all his powers. Maybe then Craven and Fondy, who we won't actually see again this season. We should just do it anyway, since he scored on us so much, like, for a revenge factor.
That was a pretty sick reference, bro.
Thanks.
Everyone knows your references are out of control.
Out of control.
Mainly his Bible references.
First one I've ever made, okay.
So, yes, long-haired dude killed us this week. And we, again, are a slump buster because Louisville had lost, like, their last two, I think it was their last two games in a row. So you guys are welcome, and we hope to never do that again. But looking forward, we actually have what I would have considered our two most important games of this entire road trip coming up, and we are in a slump ourselves. So looking forward, we do have Orange County Blues on Wednesday, July 1st. So that game will have happened by the time that you guys hear this. Hopefully it will be good, and you won't be listening to this in a fit of anger. It's, again, Wednesday, July 1st at 9. It's in California, and they're actually 6 in the standings right now. They're actually right behind us in the standings, but we do have a 5-point lead. So.
And, yeah, going into this game, OC is coming off of a win after a loss, a pretty embarrassing loss against the Colorado Switchbacks. So they're on the upswing, so hopefully we can bring them back down.
Yeah, the good thing about this is they're not that great at home like we are. I think we've only lost one game and tied one game at home. They're 4-3-1, so they've won 4 games, lost 3, and tied 1. So, you know, the opportunity is there to get at least a point out of this game before we look forward to LA Galaxy 2, which will happen Sunday, July 5th, actually. So, again, we have 2 games in California, one on the 1st against Orange County, then one on the 5th against LA Galaxy 2, and they're both important games because they're both against teams who are in the top half of the standings. LA Galaxy is actually 2nd in the West. They're 1 point from first place, so they're in good shape right now.
Yeah, a couple of players that we want to watch out for. First of all, an OC, Didier Crittenden, or Didier Creighton, whichever you want. Funny joke. He has 6 goals and 3 assists and on the same team. Christopher Ramirez, 5 goals and 1 assist. Going to want to mark those guys. And then for LA Galaxy 2, Ariel Lassiter, he's got 7 goals this season. Not quite as many as Koenig and Raul.
He good.
Yeah, he good. He's so good. Hot right now. And Raul Mendiola, he has 4 goals and 8 assists, which is actually a lot of assists. So
It'll be interesting to see who LA Galaxy 2 decides to play in this game, because basically those two teams are allowed to shift out in and out and as many players as they want. They actually, in their last game against Tulsa, which they won 4-2, they played Bradford Jamison, who had played quite a bit for LA Galaxy, actually. He's a really, really good prospect, striker prospect for the U.S. national team.
Do you guys know if LA plays another game before our game on the 5th?
I did not look.
Because, I mean, if we beat Orange County, we're only a point behind them in the standings. So it's going to be like a second, third kind of race for second place, basically.
I want to say I don't think that they have a game before we play them, but this is a week where there are a lot of midweek games. I mean, we're playing one ourselves on Wednesday, so, I mean, there is a chance.
Right.
I think our fact checker is going to look that up for us.
I checked the facts, and the answer is no, but the game is played at 5 a.m.?
No, they
can't be right.
They're still working on where they're actually going to play that game. If it's going to be at that one where they usually play, or at the StubHub Center, so
okay,
where the LA Galaxy 1 plays. So they just haven't fixed that yet. But
no, they do not have a game before they play us. But that really freaked me out for a second.
5 a.m.? Well, I guess we're just going to have to stay up all night.
Dang.
All right, so again, you know, two tough road games coming up before we get the team back on the 11th, which will be our next home game. So we're excited to get through this road stretch, and hopefully the team can right the ship here in these next two games.
Yeah, I really look forward to that happening.
Yeah. We're tired of losing. We got so used to winning, and now we're losing. It stuck again. All right, so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what's going on around the soccer world. We have a couple of big events coming up. One event has actually been going on already. That's the Women's World Cup. Our beloved United States women's national team is in the semifinal playing Germany. Anything you guys have on this game?
Well, Germany's certainly looking strong going into the game. As we all know, they were the winners of that famous 10-0 game.
Against the Ivory Coast, right?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. Jeez.
But they did... they played France in their last game. That one actually went to PKs. And they won that with the 6-5 score. But, I mean, you know, whatever.
Also, if you look at our country's record against Germany in the last one game, we have a 1-0 lead.
We're 1-0.
We're 1-0. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's
good.
Cool.
Stats, man.
Also, if you look at our history against them in world wars, we are 2-0.
2-0.
So
fired.
We're definitely winning that one. I know all the people that listen in Germany are gonna be really pissed that I said that, but whatever.
Sorry guys, we know you're avid listeners of the podcast. But an interesting thing to think about, which it would be kind of cool to see happen, is that if we lose and England loses against Japan, we will play them in a third place game on July 4th. So that would be USA versus England on the 4th of July.
Nice.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't either, but it's something to look forward to in case, you know. It would be fun.
Well, that would stink because it'd be third place game, but we have all the history on our side in that match, you know. I think we beat them 76-0 in that game, if I had to guess.
Something pretty close to that.
Something close to that, yeah. Okay, so Germany has a couple players to look for in this game. Celia Sasic, like, she has 63 goals for them. She's an important player. And they have quite a few good players because they beat a France team that was pretty good. And so, I mean, it was an exciting game. So they're definitely, you know, not going to be a pushover. I know we've come a long way in the women's game as far as, like, I remember, you know, a couple Women's World Cups before, or, like, you know, the ones in the past. It's like, Yeah, and the final game was always kind of tough, but we basically blew everybody out in the group stage, blew everybody out going into the final, you know. And now there's competition everywhere. So, I mean, it's pretty...
There's definitely a lot more parity in this Women's World Cup than there has been in the past.
Right, right, exactly. So that should be fun to watch. That game's on Tuesday, so again, that game will have happened by the time you hear this podcast, so we're looking forward to that. Didn't you guys know when the final is for this? Should we make it? I was looking at it earlier, but...
The final will be on the 5th of July.
5th of July, so Sunday. Okay. Okay, very good. So... Women's World Cup game, and
for those of you just now listening to this, we had a really good time watching this game at Skinny Slim's downtown.
Yeah, I'm still feeling the after effects of that night.
Really great to go out and watch him get a win.
No, I'm saying tomorrow's game. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about that too.
And I was also talking about how I'm feeling the hangover already.
Right.
Right.
Way to just ruin the illusion of that joke.
We were following you, Eddie. We were following your joke. Jeez.
We got it.
We got it. So, yes, that could be fun. The final of the Women's World Cup on Sunday, as well as a late energy game. That could be a lot of fun on the 5th. So.
Yeah, that could be fun. I was talking about tomorrow's game, though.
The joke's not funny anymore.
Okay, so let's move forward from there and preview the Gold Cup, which is our region's tournament. So for those of you who don't know, we'll just do a little basic information. The United States is in the region called CONCACAF, which is basically us, Canada, Mexico, and a lot of Central American teams, and then some of the teams in the Caribbean. So we have our own confederation. It's kind of how we qualify for World Cups, and each confederation has its own tournament. And so this is our tournament. It's called the Gold Cup. It's played every 2 years. This one is important because since we won the one in 2013, the winner of the one in 2015, if it's not us, plays us in a playoff to see if we can go to the Confederations Cup, which is like, they call the Confederations Cup like the mini World Cup because it always has really, really good national teams. We went before the World Cup in South Africa. That's when we beat Spain 3-2 and we're up 2-0 on Brazil and they came back. But anyways, good tournament. So this is an important Gold Cup. We do want to win it. We have our 35-man provisional roster out, and we've also had it decided the 23 that are on the set roster. Now, the way this works is you can make up to 6 changes after the group stages, but everybody that you change has to be on that provisional roster. So changes aren't always made. A lot of time it's made due to injury or something of that nature. But what do you guys think about the Gold Cup?
Yeah, the first game is going to be in Frisco this next Tuesday against Honduras.
I'll be there.
I will absolutely be there.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a great weekend / beginning of the week for you.
It is. We get to go see our uncle get married, so... That'll be fun in Austin, the greatest city in the world, and then we'll come back down to, or come back up to Dallas and get to watch the United States of A play. So that'll be a lot of fun.
The United States of A, that
you never heard that one before.
That's really funny. That's real funny. But
I don't
care
who you are, that's funny.
I don't care who you are, that's funny. So Eddie, who's in our group for the Gold Cup?
All right, so we have obviously the first match we just talked about is against Honduras. The next match we play on July 10th, it's in Foxborough, Massachusetts. We play against Haiti. The following game's on the 13th, in Kansas City against Panama.
That'll be a great game.
I'm going to go up for that one also for Brian's birthday.
Didn't we play Panama in the final of the Gold Cup 2 years ago, or was that the semifinal?
That was the final.
Okay, yeah.
And we beat them. They were the runners up, so,
yeah. They looked really good going into that final too.
They did. They're a strong team, and they're in our group. They're definitely the hardest team in that kind of second round that got put into our group. So it should be fun to watch. I know that I really think that the travel schedule is kind of weird because we play in Dallas, then we have to fly all the way to the East Coast to play in Boston, and then we have to fly all the way back to play in Kansas City. I don't know why they just didn't put our second group game in like Chicago or something like that, which is one of the host cities. It's just kind of weird to fly them all the way to Boston and then 2 days later fly them over to Kansas City to play a game.
Yeah, or just even take the trip up to Kansas City, Chicago, and then to the East Coast. That would make a lot more sense.
Right.
But, I mean, if they want to shell out the money to fly them all over the world, you know, whatever.
All over the world, you mean the United States?
All over the United States.
They fly them all over the world too, guys.
Technically, this is being co-hosted by Canada, except they only have one stadium that's going to host a game. So I don't know how you could even call them co-hosts, but it's technically the United States and Canada. So yo, go Canada. So I kind of wanted to take a second and go over the roster for the United States so you guys can hear those names if you haven't already. So goalies are Brad Guzan, Nick Raimondo, and Willem Yarbrough. Defenders, Ventura Alvarado, John Brooks, Timmy Chandler, Brad Evans, Omar Gonzalez, and Tim Ream, which is weird. Ream is getting a call back now, and he hasn't been with the team in a while, so that'll be cool to see. Sorry, and DeAndre Yedlin. Midfielders, Kyle Beckerman, Alejandro Bedoya, Michael Bradley. I love Michael Bradley.
That
Brad
wonderfully
Davis.
Bald-headed man.
So wonderful. Brad Davis.
I hate Brad Davis.
He hates Brad Davis. They hate Brad Davis.
I don't know why. He's on this roster. Anyways.
I mean, you probably hate him because he plays for Houston.
Yeah.
But also, if you look at his picture on the roster website, he just looks super smug.
Yeah.
Look at him. That's a smug face.
He is smug because he thinks... And he's awful. Like, he's also not a good player. That's why I don't like him. But Mix Discarude, Fabian Johnson, Alfredo Morales, Giassi Zardes, and Graham Zusi. Zeus. That'll be fun. Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised that Wood was left off the roster, considering he had a couple really awesome late-game goals against the
Netherlands
and Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a few omissions I thought was weird. Wrapping up with forwards, we got Jozy Altidore, Clint Dempsey, who tears up referees' notebooks, Clint Dempsey, Aaron Johansson, and Chris Wondolowski.
You did that
on purpose.
Freudian slip. Chris Wondolowski. So, pretty interesting roster, because through this whole last friendly season before, you know, any games that mattered, like the Gold Cup, Jurgen has really been kind of tinkering and experimenting with lineups. And this lineup, besides a couple of players, is pretty familiar for him, and it features a lot of players that he calls up quite a bit. So what do you guys think about the tournament?
I feel like we're pretty lucky to have Dempsey playing after his whole tearing up the notebook thing.
Exactly, which I am a huge fan of. I think that was hilarious. Our friends, because I remember just referencing the EPL whenever Cesc Fabregas kicked that ball into the player's head. I was pretty much the only person that thought that was hilarious. But
yeah.
Just within our own friends group, people were acting shocked and disgusted that Clint Dempsey would tear up a referee's book.
He's so dangerous and aggressive.
I was okay with Clint doing that, but Fabregas, I mean, that was disgusting.
That was hilarious.
Disgusting.
Dude, he was like 20 yards out and just pegged the guy square in his forehead. It was awesome.
Disgusting.
It was awesome.
He should have been lifetime banned.
You're just mad because there's not one single player on Everton that has that amount of skill. Straight up.
Yeah, they couldn't do that on purpose. Maybe on accident.
Lifetime ban.
So a lot going on for all of those Gold Cup games, and the Women's World Cup game as well, as energy watch parties. You guys all know already. We will be having watch parties at Skinny Slims. So come on out, join us, have a brew, talk to us about the game, about podcasts. It is downtown, so centrally located. Lots of stuff going on. The past couple Women's World Cup games, it was pretty much packed out. I mean, standing room only. So that's always a lot of fun.
Tyler said he was going to buy beer this game tomorrow.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's buying beer for everybody.
Nice.
For everybody. Everybody that wants a beer, just go out, ask if Tyler, like, just say, put it on Tyler's tab, and he will take care of it.
Right.
Find the guy who is tall and looks like...
Don't even find him. Just go to the bar.
Just go to the bar.
Just go to the bar. Say that Tyler got you a beer on his tab.
Right.
Any beer. Literally any beer. Probably the most expensive beer you can do.
Probably like 12 of them if you want.
12, 20.
Whatever, yeah. I'm sure Lou just knows to put them on Tyler's tab. Yeah,
buy a couple of rounds, you know? Who cares? It's on Tyler's tab.
And
he
some
said
shots.
It was cool. He totally said it was cool.
Yeah, get some shots.
Tyler, you think that's cool, right?
Buy a bottle.
Sure do. So, yeah. So,
has anybody ever gotten bottle service at Skinny's?
I don't think so. I don't remember if that happened or not.
I heard maybe Tyler's going to tomorrow.
He is.
He is, definitely.
He's probably not going to get to drink any of it, but...
His tab's going to be like $1,000, and he's going to have no idea why, because he doesn't listen to the podcast that he's a part of, so he's not going to know why at all.
He's going to have to clean Skinny's for like a year before Lou lets him work that off.
He's going to be an indentured servant.
They should put him in like a hairnet and stuff and make him wear the yellow gloves.
They don't have one big enough for all that hair.
Anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, I think that wraps it up.
No, we could do the Around the League if you want, Eddie.
Yes. So I did forget that. So Around the League, let's go ahead and get that going. Go ahead, Eddie.
All right, so the first game Around the League was Colorado Springs beat Orange County Blues 5-0.
You're hearing that correctly?
Yeah, 5-0. The only thing worth talking about is the camera zoomed in on a bunny that was running the sidelines for about a minute. So I don't know if it stopped the game, but that's all they were focused on. Montreal Impact lost to Wilmington Hammerheads 2-1. Tulsa Roughnecks lost to Sacramento Republic FC 3-1. Roro got 2 goals in this game, so he's extending his goal streak by 2.
Yeah, Sacramento was definitely in the driver's seat for all of that game. I mean, Tulsa did score 1 goal, but Sacramento had it in the bag the whole time.
Actually, if you listen to the commentators, they talk about how Tulsa dominated possession for the first 10 minutes of that game. They were very proud of their first 10 minutes. Tulsa's 1 goal was pretty nice. I think it was an accident. Somebody must have dropped like a hamburger or something on the field, because Ochoa had this diving header, is what they called it. But I'm pretty sure he just laid down and the ball was kicked off of his head.
He's like cheeseburger Eddie of soccer.
David Hasselhoff style. He just laid down for the burger. You know?
Yeah. The funniest part of that whole goal was... bless you, Ryan. The funniest part of that whole goal...
I couldn't hold that one back.
Was afterwards, he just laid on the ground. And I'm pretty sure he couldn't get up, but it was funny because he just laid there.
He was eating his cheeseburger, dude.
He's just so tired, man.
Yeah, so... Even the commentator was talking about how he was just laying on the ground. So it was pretty funny.
That's his most athletic move.
Hey, man. He skipped conditioning, you know?
That's right. Next game was Seattle Sounders 2 beat Rail Monarchs 1-0. Charlotte Independence drew with Richmond Kickers 0-0. Rochester beat Pittsburgh Riverhounds 1-0. The Charleston Battery beat Harrisburg City Islanders 4-1. I was going to say Louisville City, but we already discussed that one.
Yeah, don't mention that again.
We're done talking about that.
We had 2 really nice goals. Toronto FC topped Wilmington 1-0. The Austin Aztecs drew with Sacramento 0-0. LA Galaxy 2 dominated Tulsa 2-4.
I don't even care that they're ahead of us in the standings. Tulsa lost.
Yeah, LA came to play because they scored their first goal in the third minute of that game. So,
jeez.
Yeah, Tulsa should be, thankfully, they should be pretty used to losing by now.
I will say that Christian Mata, I think is his first name, that plays for Tulsa, he had a really nice diving header. It was called offsides. It was in the eighth minute. It went in, but it was offsides. I don't know what Tulsa
is. Oh, so it doesn't matter?
I don't know what Tulsa's doing with a Mata and an Oscar, but I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
It's fortunate that neither of them play anything like the real Mata and Oscar.
That is, yeah. I will say that Tulsa's two goals were off one off a deflection and two off of a penalty, so they really didn't do anything in this game. New York Red Bulls beat St. Louis FC 4-1.
They're actually so hot right now. I think they've won like three or four in a row after not being very good before that. So
The Red Bulls?
Yeah.
Yeah, St. Louis, didn't they start out pretty hot too?
Yeah.
No. Not anymore.
After losing 5-0 to Colorado Springs, Orange County beat Vancouver 3-2.
To be fair, Vancouver's not a great team, so hopefully they won't have much of a momentum going into our game.
I'll say something else about this game. All five goals were in the first half. It was the third minute started the goal scoring again. I'm sorry, the 6 minute start the goal scoring again. Vancouver drew 2-2 short. One thing to mention in this game is all the goals were scored in the first half. Orange County came off with a pretty tight angle goal in the 6th minute. It was actually pretty nice. Vancouver drew at 2-2 late in the first half, and then there was a 42nd minute penalty that Orange County scored, and then absolutely nothing happened in the second half.
Man, as a fan going into halftime, you're like, man, this is gonna be like a 7-5 game, and then nope, it didn't change.
Yeah, you gotta be pumped for at least like a 4-3, or you gotta expect a couple goals in the second half, and just nothing the whole time.
Just sit there waiting.
Arizona United beat the terrible Real Monarchs 2-1. They're still at the bottom of the table.
The hilarious thing about this is that one of the few goals that Real Monarch SLC scores in the season, they don't even get to see, really, because the announcers were focusing on a foul that occurred right before they scored.
They were showing a replay of a terrible foul. Like, I mean, it wasn't even worthy of a replay. And while they were showing it, the Monarch scored a rare goal, and they didn't even get to see it live. Like, they had to go from replay,
typical,
straight back into straight another replay. And then, so it was pretty level, 1-1 most of this match, and then Arizona scored in the 93rd minute of a 3-minute stoppage time.
Yep. Wow. It was actually a pretty good goal, too. What was his name that scored the goal? I wrote a note down. Oh, his name is Morrison. Last name Morrison. he actually threaded the needle on this goal in between several defenders on the left foot and got into the right side of the net. It was a pretty good goal. But that secured Real Monarch's position at the bottom of the table once again with a very solid and convincing 8 points. 1 win total.
Right.
And then the last game of this week is Portland Timbers and Seattle Sounders. Both of their second teams play tonight after an MLS matchup last night that Portland won 4-1. I don't care what the scoreline is. The Timbers need to win tonight. We don't need Seattle to get any more points ahead of us, and the Timbers can't catch us with a win tonight. So they're going to remain, I think it's 3 points back, even if they get a win. So we need the Timbers to win tonight, so we're going to pull for that. It's 0-0 right now in the 27th minute. So,
all right, all right.
Daniel will reluctantly root for the hipsters tonight. The bane of his existence.
We're all neckbeards in Oklahoma City tonight.
Not even a hipster. What?
That's pretty hipster.
Sorry, I didn't mean to offend your people, Ryan.
We're going to wear tight black pants and gray shirts tonight.
And
a beanie that
not
doesn't
hipsters.
Cover my ears in 100-degree weather.
Right, and I'm going to have not showered since, like, last Tuesday.
No, those are all very hipster things, but the neckbeard is not one of them. The neckbeard is a nerd stigma.
Like I said, I'm sorry that I offended your people. I'll make sure to get my nomenclature right next time.
I can't even grow a beard, so I don't know where you're coming from with this.
Ryan is half hipster, half nerd, so he's just offended all around here.
He's a neck hipster. All right, so that's all we got this week. But before we do our usual social media stuff, we do want to thank our close friend, Bo Brand. We got to meet up with him yesterday. Got a lot of cool pictures that we'll show you guys soon on our Facebook page and Instagram. Basically just us being jackasses like usual, but this time somebody took pictures of it. So
yeah,
thanks
professional
to Bo.
Jackasses.
Oh, professional, yes. Yeah, so a big shout out to Mr. Bo Brand. He's awesome for accommodating us.
Shout out
for doing that for us. Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm just gonna do a quick plug of his social media. If you need to find him, he's on Twitter at Brand Imaging OKC and on Facebook as Brand Imaging Inc. You can find him there. He does a lot of stuff. He does like weddings, parties.
Did a picture of Serge Ibaka. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
So I don't know if that's true. I just made that up. But his his stuff is really good. It's a professional studio.
He could do pictures of Serge Ibaka.
He could, yes.
He'd make him look like a badass.
He would. So if you need any photos done, get with Bo, a cool dude, and he hooked us up. So thanks a lot, Bo. Again, thank you guys for listening this week. Go follow us on Twitter at Jimmy's Army Pod. Facebook page, Jimmy's Army Podcast. We have Instagram under the same name. Please share this with your friends and give us any feedback you guys have. Ask questions. We love the questions, and we'll talk to you next week.